What do you think it means to be a person?
I don't know.
Me either. Really.
Go.
Say scratch that again.
Scratch that a fan.
I'm Caitlin Metz, a non-binary illustrator and designer.
I'm Rebecca Tossig, a disabled storyteller and writer.
And this is Scratch That, Parenting and Reparenting Off Script.
A podcast for people trying to parent and person at the same time.
Head over to our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast, for show notes and a transcript of today's episode. And also to join the conversation.
Thank you for being here. Hi, friend.
Happy Monday. I'm so excited to be here with you. It has been, well, the people, we have still been rolling episodes out, but that's because we banked them. We have not been together recording in like 5 weeks.
Yeah, it feels like a new day.
A lifetime. Yeah, this feels like the start of season two.
Yes, it does. That's what it feels like. But it's felt weird to me. I mean, like, I love all the conversations that we recorded and a lot of interviews that we did ahead of time. But there is this sort of like strangeness in sharing an episode that we recorded quite a while ago. And so it's like, it feels like an ancient artifact to bring out.
It does.
And here we are, like, fresh in the present moment together. It feels good.
And we're airing this next week. So that's like immediate in podcasting world. From my extensive knowledge.
Yeah, it just feels a little bit more like the timelines are a little bit more aligned somehow, which feels good for the moment. So I'm happy to be here with you.
Same. So what have you been doing, Rebecca, as we have not been recording?
Yeah, I mean, like, part of the reason that we took a pause in recording was just that I was traveling a ton for a lot of speaking events. I've kind of had spring and fall seasons of speaking, traveling to a lot of universities and talking with businesses and all of that about ableism and disability and about my book. And I did one talk in Wisconsin about the history of the Americans with Disability Act and kind of looking to how we arrived to the moment we're in, what's happening in the moment we're in, what the future looks like, and just feeling like speaking into conversations that I feel like are really important. So I've been in a lot of airplanes. I think I was on like 14 flights in 3 weeks, like so much potential damage to my wheelchair. We made it. But I definitely felt different being out in the world this season of traveling. I mean, I think I've been doing this for like 4 years now, and I definitely noticed like the air around me felt different. Just the amount of anxiety that I felt coming from every corner, from like people that I sat next to on airplanes to the presidents of universities, and just this like tenseness in the air, so much uncertainty, people feeling strained and stressed, a lot of fear that I felt from people, a lot of this like we're cautiously saying things, not sure of like, are you living in the same story I'm living in, you know, like a lot of that kind of interaction, a lot of people really angry for all different sorts of reasons. Anyways, all that to say, I had my little trip around the country, and it felt different out there. And in part, that I think is what inspired us to think about this episode and this conversation. So, do you want to tell our friends and listeners kind of our premise for today?
So, as you notice, the world is heightened, and I've also been feeling a lot of heightened anxiety in my body. And I've just been noting the things that are helping. I've been thinking of them as like antidotes to anxiety. And so we're going to share today just some of the things that are working for us, that are helping ground us or calming some of that anxiety. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe some of these will feel useful to people listening. I would love to hear or to like see our Patreon get filled up with like lots of resources, thoughts, ways that people are combating this. I think there's so many ways to move through the big scaries, and just crowdsourcing them feels really important right now.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the strategies? What are the tools? What are the landing points and touch points? So do you want to start? Do you want to go first?
Yeah. I have broken mine into immediate antidotes and proactive. So I'm always thinking about like in a moment of crisis with quotations around it, like when I'm like really needing a resource or some down regulation, what are those tools? And then also what are the things that I'm implementing regularly that will like build up and make those moments less acute? So the immediate things that I'm doing in the moments of heightened anxiety, the first one is taking photos. And for me, this is how I cultivate a sense of awe and really like, well, it's both zooming in and zooming out. So I take a lot of photos of the sky, which is like my number one grounding technique. It immediately just brings me to this like sense of wonder, awe, delight, just like, can you even believe that we're just like living under this every day? And it makes me feel small.
You have so many photos from like, this is what the sky looked like the day you were born, or this is what the, I remember tracking so many or seeing those, so many of those come through your Instagram stories, but, even me witnessing you do that has that little bit of like, we're so tiny on this planet feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like, if you could pause everything that's horrifying, which is a lot also, oh my God, like, what, like, just an insane amount of just like wonder is all around us. So taking photos of the sky is really grounding, but also I find myself then going in really close to a detail, like Charlie's hand holding a pen, or like the corner of my face and like what the wrinkles around my eyes look like. And I always have my phone on me.
You take pictures of those things too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like part of it is just like the act of pausing to notice the small thing. But taking a photo is like keeps me in the moment. It makes it real. And it's like a doing of a thing, which I like often really need the addition of the doing. And then I have that marker. Yeah. So that's kind of like three of my things that I wrote down. I was like taking photos, cultivating a sense of awe, getting granular, and then documenting things. So anytime that I can just take stock of what is happening in this moment and like hold myself right there instead of like spiraling about the past or the future. Yeah, I feel like that's my number one.
You know what's funny is I didn't even think of this for me, but I've been doing the same thing with Otto I've talked before on this podcast about how Otto and I take really wandering, rambling walks from like the car, from the house to the car, from the car to the school. Like, and so as we've been doing those, I've started this collection of photos of just like the things that Otto and I see on those walks. And it's like tiny or like plump little dewdrops on the sides of our like newly sprouting green things coming out of the ground, or like I don't know what kind of tree it is, but there's this tree by his school that has these little pink blossoms that when they burst open they turn white, and so like catching them when they're in the middle of that transition. So I think it's similar. There's this like, where are we right now? What is right in front of us? And that awe that you named of just like, look at the wonder that is here, right here, immediately here. There is so much happening outside of this moment. And also, I don't know, like, it feels like an extra loss to lose the wonder of that on top of everything else, maybe.
Yeah. And really the only thing that I have any control of is what's happening precisely in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just like bringing myself back to that, because I can spiral so hard about all the things that I could be doing or I'm not doing. And of course, there's lots of stuff that we can do. But also, all I can do is what I can do in one moment, and those will add up. And if my nervous system is regulated, then maybe I can do something more.
And there are things we have to do, like pick up our kids from school or like run an errand. So while we're doing those things we have to do, also we can look at the sky and we can look at, I don't know, the shape of a blossom or something. That sounds so cheesy when I say the shape of a blossom, but it's true. It's helpful.
It's
been helpful.
You know, the other cheesy thing. So other thing I wrote down on here is like really gentle movement. So I've been doing yoga and I use yoga very lightly. Mostly I'm stretching my hips and doing a little cat cow, maybe a sun salutation. But also taking a walk, and I am perpetually so peeved at how much better I feel after I take a walk. It's like, so absurd. My friend Morgan texted me the other day and she was like, wow, I just walked outside and went from like, I don't know, like a 4 to an 8 or something, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 of how terrible. It's like,
yeah,
how did I forget? Like if I could just go take like a 30-minute stroll around my neighborhood, everything is better. And it's so easy. It's so accessible to me. And I routinely just like go days and days and days without doing that. And it's like, oh my God, put your fucking phone away.
It's not that hard.
Just go breathe some air, whatever the weather is, just go out.
And how annoying that is.
It's so annoying. Or just like laying in my hammock. I'm like, oh, 10 minutes swaying in my hammock, staring at the trees above can solve so many problems. Just so many. And it does feel really like it's funny, but also it's like truly annoying to me, because the pause to sit in my hammock or the pause to go for a walk is like hard for me to get to, and it's so stupid. But yeah. And then my last immediate antidote is kind of both. It's like an immediate thing I can do, and it is proactive, and it's reading poetry. I started reading it after I had Charlie because I could no longer sit and read for like an hour of time. And but a poem, I could almost always, I could read an entire poem. And so Ross Gay, Mary Oliver, Andrea Gibson, and newly Joy Sullivan. Those are the poets that I'm returning to again and again. I listened to, there's an audio of Ross Gay reading. It's not even reading, it's like performing. His poem Catalog of Unabashed Gratitude, to the audio of Bon Iver, like creating this magical soundscape. And I listen to that at least once a week. It's a 15-minute long poem song. And my favorite, this is my ultimate hack. So anyone who like just needs a thing to do, I call this layering delights. Get yourself ready for a shower. Get yourself a little bevy. Turn the bathroom lights off. Turn your flashlight on your phone on and turn on Catalog of Unabashed Gratitude and take a 15-minute shower. It rights most wrongs.
I'm going to link that. We can link that audio, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I have it all linked here.
Oh, great. Okay. We'll link it to the show notes. So all you have to do is scroll down a little bit, hit the link. You're there. It's right there. Okay.
And I think I don't want it to seem like I'm making light of how terribly scary and awful the world is right now. It feels really, really scary and awful. And also, I can shift how my body's feeling in these like really little ways. And it's not solving everything, but I think what it is solving is this spiral that I'm getting into that is like not useful. It makes everything worse than it is. So not to say that a 15-minute shower with Ross Gay solves the horrors of the world, but
15-minute shower with Ross Gay.
Just you and Jess. It's all you need. Just me and Ross. Just me and Ross in the shower. Oh my God. What I wouldn't give. interrupting this episode to say thank you to everyone supporting the podcast on Patreon.
We love seeing your comments come through. We love getting to know each of you better. Like, you being there really means the world to us.
If you want to support the project financially, you can become a paying patron for as low as $5 a month. That's less than a latte.
But there's lots of free ways to support the podcast too. Sharing episodes, giving us one of those very pretty 5-star reviews, all of that makes a huge difference too.
And you can also join Patreon without paying. So the show notes will always be there for you. Okay, back to the show.
I know what you mean, because I feel like part of what we're trying to do is figure out what is sustainable and how to remain present and engaged, and finding strategies for that, because I think there are a lot of reasons why, understandably, why a lot of people are just unplugging and disengaging, and I completely understand why. And some of that is absolute survival. And I think not everybody has the capacity to, or the level of engagement that we have the capacity to is a range, right? But it's, I think what you're describing and what makes sense to me is strategies for sustainability.
And how to be calm and present enough in your body that you can take in what's happening, and then hopefully make some small movement towards hope.
Yeah. And I think another piece of it for anyone who is a parent or a caregiver is also figuring out how to maintain and hold on to that pilot of the ship, or the, what is it? The Dr. Becky says the pilot of the plane, like the sturdy leader for these little people who are growing up right now. That is, you know, thinking about what I can do right now, that is a powerful thing to do right now, is to be present parents. So I think that's part of it too. I think mine are more like teeny tiny actionable things. And then I have some sort of big picture ways of thinking that are helping me. So like in terms of the tiny little actionable things, I think one thing that I've seen myself doing, Micah actually pointed this out to me, because I think it's been sort of an instinct thing. I have a strong desire to know what's going on and to hear what is happening and what the things are, and to want to understand them. And I think, just by default for a long time, I've done a lot of that on social media, is like, I think that is a way that I have kept up with the news for a long time, and that is not working for me right now. My brain is just so prone to getting sucked into comment sections, and all I see are people like the most reduced take, you know, like the simplest, hottest, most immediate sort of like reaction, and then I'm reacting to you, and so much of it is just like headlines, and so. I have shifted to consuming information and sort of like news information more in podcast format. I think what I want is less headlines and more nuanced conversation and human exchanges and back and forth of ideas and understanding. I really appreciate when a host can engage in a thoughtful conversation with someone who I wouldn't normally listen to. I want to hear those back and forth exchanges. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts to try to weed through. And the image that I've had a lot is like belly crawl forward, like tiny movements connected to the earth. We're moving slowly. But staying rooted and connected. So podcasts, that's a long way of saying I've just shifted my medium of content. I've also been feeling, and I talked about this a little bit on an earlier episode, I think about hope that we did. But I have been feeling, I don't know if it's useful. It just feels like something that I refuse to diminish or belittle is the act of donating. I can't do like huge donations, but I refuse to belittle the small donation. And so I'm finding myself be very quick to like send money to the library, send money to a GoFundMe, send money to a teacher's fund. Like, even if it's small, I want to participate in that. This next one is one that I think I got this idea from you, because did you do a post about like, this Valentine's Day, let's write reviews for small businesses?
Yes. Yeah.
I love that so much. And so I am getting a lot of delight out of sending positive feedback for little businesses. And like, I've been traveling a lot, I have like drivers that drive me around a lot, and I had these two drivers in Pittsburgh that I was so fond of, so I just like wrote an email to their boss saying all the things that they did well, and then I like do a Google review. It doesn't take very long, but I just want to like send those little dispatches out into the world that's like, I see you, you're doing a good job. I want other people to know that you are doing something special. So anyways, that is my new favorite thing. It's really quick. And when you're, I mean, yeah, it feels like, again, it's like these tiny things, but I just refuse to diminish them. And I do believe that there is some sort of cumulative value in, they add up to something. There's something valuable in the practice. I don't know. And then the last little thing, that I have been getting a lot of, I don't know, feeling grounded in, is mending my clothes. It's like a new thing that I'm not a tremendous sewer or anything, but you know, I know how to like put the needle and thread through the fabric. And I've been looking up little things on Pinterest for like patches for t-shirt holes under your armpit and stuff.
Cute.
And so I've just been like mending clothes that I've had for a really long time and trying not to just impulsively put a sweater in my cart at Target. I don't need it. And then one of my friends gave me the idea of like, I don't know, I have a lot of items in my dresser drawers and closets that are like fast fashion items. And I think a lot of that is just like, I don't have time to thrift store shop like I used to, and I don't have tons of money. So that's why I end up buying stuff like that. But this friend was saying like, but mending those clothes is like honoring the people that made them and like in treating even those items with care. Like, I know that like a bigger picture move is like, let's not make things like that anymore. Like, those industries are harmful, but in caring for even those items of clothing, in like sewing the buttons back on for my Target cardigan. And then also seeing sort of like, the mending as being part of the beauty of that article of clothing, that it's gaining value to me in the care that I put into it. And I'm not buying that sweater from Amazon or whatever the fuck. Like, I, you know, like, I just feel like a little sickness every time. And I know that there's a practical piece of that. I totally get that. And that, that a lot of this is, I don't know, like much larger problems. But anyways, that feels gratifying to me. That feels like a practice that I'm enjoying. And that feels like, I don't know, that belly crawl close to the earth, like feeling the dirt beneath my fingernails as I kind of make my way. Those are my little things.
I love that so much. And it feels meditative, like the act of stitching something back, just like the ritual of that feels calming in and of itself. Like the act of doing it feels soothing.
And can I tell you, I've also been doing it a lot. I've been thinking so much about how I reach for my phone so much in front of Otto. And I'm like, when I have that impulse, I'm like, what else would I like him to see me doing? Mm-hmm. I know, mending my clothes. This is what I want in his brain as he gets older. The image of his mom is not just like staring at her phone all the time. So, you know, there's lots of layers to the benefit of that.
I'm in the like donating and the writing of the reviews particularly, I'm hearing this like shifting of your attention towards Like, instead of writing a scathing review about something that sucked, or like getting sucked into a really derogatory comment section, which is probably really valid because there's a lot of things to be angry at right now.
Yes.
But just like orienting yourself towards that, as that feels like a really big proactive thing that I have been really trying to turn myself towards. This started a couple years ago. There was a shift in my head. I think it was 2 years ago. In Andrew's family, my partner's family, there was like a series of three deaths, like close, immediate family, within like the period of like 10 or 12 months. And I watched, and we all showed up, all the family came together. There was like beautiful memorial services. And I watched how we all came together, and it was really beautiful. But I also, something about that experience of like this repeated showing up in grief together made me wonder, how are we doing this outside of grief? Like, am I prioritizing like being with the people that I love as much as I do when like something bad happens? Yeah. And how much space and like understanding is given when like someone, when there's a death, that like you can drop everything and go to it, and which is beautiful and as it should be. And also, I want to have that kind of reaction to joy. And so it's been slow, but I've been really trying to think about like more intentional celebrations, like throwing a big party, and not even like lavish, but just like really intentionally being there to celebrate joy. And
yeah.
And this weekend, I like enacted that your children's book came out, and it was like, it wasn't even like the biggest moment, you know, I think for you or your career or something. But it was like accessible to me. I like could do it. It felt really exciting. And so Charlie and I like came and did this, like, I think it was like a 16-hour trip, like round trip. Like we drove into Kansas City. We like attended this thing. And then the next morning we came right back home because we had another thing we wanted to celebrate. And it just felt so fucking good to prioritize going and doing something just because it was joyful. I am exceptionally good in a crisis. I show up, I run towards it. My nervous system is like prepared and like on. It's a coping mechanism. It's how I've been raised. I'm like very motivated, very action oriented when something goes wrong, and I'm excellent at it. And then afterwards, I'm destroyed for like, depending on the severity of like the crisis and how much I overextend for months. And the older I get, the worse it gets. And so I have been thinking about that tendency to rush towards suffering, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but wanting to like orient myself towards like running towards joy and just like exciting things, and that to not feel frivolous. Cause I think there is this like thought that if I'm not suffering, then it is like, yeah, there's some frivolity to it, which is like religious trauma.
Where that somehow there's something more important that you should be doing, you know, as if this isn't as valuable, or you're not carrying the weight that you should be or something.
Yes.
But it meant so much to me to see you there. Like I knew you were on your way, and I got there and I was like looking for you and Charlie, and then I rounded the corner and then I saw you guys. I don't know if we mentioned this or not. It was at the library, and it was reading my new picture book, We Are the Scrappy Ones, to a bunch of kids. And I had never done that before. Like, you know, we've been working on this book for 4 years, and I'd never like read it to a whole room full of kids before. And as I was reading it, I like kept looking over at you and Charlie and thinking about just the, you know, I mean, it wasn't the most significant thing for my career or anything. It wasn't the most important moment, but it was a special moment. And to get to look over and see you inside of that moment with me You know, like you heard all of the kids' questions too. And you were in that moment with me. And
it was incredible.
I would have told you about it later, but you were there and that will always be the case. I think of that movie, Inside Out, with all the memories. And just like you're inside of that little marble with me, that little marble memory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And holding Charlie on my lap and hearing him tell people about that experience has been really, really sweet. And just be like, yeah, we saw Rebecca and her new book. And that felt so important. God, those kids' questions. I know. Like, that in itself was worth like all of the driving. That was hope. That felt really beautiful. How was it for you? What was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. I mean, I think I've done so many Q&As with Sitting Pretty that I kind of know the questions that people will ask, and I've answered them so many times that they just sort of spill out of my mouth without thinking. But with this book, not only was it like the first time I'd done a couple of Q&As with like review places and stuff, like, but I'd to have kids' questions and just like the wide open curiosity that just like, I'm going to ask exactly the thing, or I don't even know what I'm going to ask, so I'm going to say these things. And this, it's just like this like freshest take. The first question from that kid was, why are there so many big words in it? And I was so delighted by that. I was like, kid, you should have seen my first draft. Like, it is a whole new thing for writing for younger kids. So I loved that. I think the moment that meant the most to me was the kids talking about what scrappy means. So the kid who asked, like, why are there all these big words in the book? And I said, like, what are some of the big words and that you're kind of holding on to? And he was like, scrappy. And so I kind of asked, like, what do you guys think scrappy means? And to hear them kind of puzzling, tough, I think, was what one of the kids said. Mm-hmm. Strong. And then I wish I would have stretched it out a little bit further, because I hope that I get to do it again, because I want to fill that word up with so many things. I also really appreciated, one of the kids asked, like, is this a book about people with disabilities? And that was a really cool question to puzzle over. Because I'm thinking about these young people and like what that identity marker means to them and what words they're associating with it and how they even imagine or conceptualize it. Like, who are these people? I was just really marveling over that. And then can I tell you else something just like,
yes,
that delighted me also is that so Otto was there too, which was really special. And Caitlin, I didn't know this, but he was raising his hand during the Q&A. I didn't see him. And he wanted to tell everyone that I was his mama. And I didn't know. I didn't see him. And Micah told me all of this later. And so he eventually put his hand down because I wasn't calling on him. And he turned to Mike and he was like, raise your hand. Raise your hand and tell them she's my mama. And Micah was like, I don't want to do that.
Oh.
And so this girl asked a question about who are these people in the back of the book. There was a picture of me as a kid and then a picture of me with Micah and Otto. And so I was able to say, well, actually, my kid is here right now. And so is my partner, Micah. And I had them like raise their hands and wave. And Micah said that Otto was just like beside himself. And it meant so much to me to share that moment with him too, right?
Yeah.
And then
the pride that he had, yeah, to want to tell everyone that you were his.
Yeah, that's not something we experience every day. And it was really sweet. And then the next day he, in the car, out of the blue, he just said, what was it like for you to read that book to all the kids?
Otto, sweet angel baby.
I know. It made me so happy. And that was a lot of rambling. All that to say, that actually takes me to my bigger picture mindset thing I wanted to name.
Yeah.
And then I want to hear your longevity, big picture tool. But for me, I think a feeling I have in my brain a lot lately is like, it almost feels like being in a tornado and not being sure what to grab a hold of. Like, not sure, it's just sort of like so much uncertainty, so much unknown, so much like, okay, what is really happening? What is going to happen? When? Like, just trying to understand reality, I guess. And so I think one of the things that I've been trying to do is remind myself and hold on to the things that I very much do know, like the things that are not up for question, that are not uncertain, but are very much true, that I know in my bones and through my heart and guts to be true. And I think that can take a lot of different shapes. But wanting to, I mean, I think like writing that piece about the Texas versus Becerra lawsuit was one version of that, right? It's mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of these policies or lawsuits that I don't understand, but this is one that I do understand. And I know the historical context and I know the value of this thing. So I will speak these things out loud because I am confident about this. And I felt like my book was a little bit of that too, the story of the book or the words of the book are sort of instilling value in the experience of disability for kids. So it's like reaffirming that we are a valuable part of our communities, that we add to our families, our schools, our cities, that we're not a burden, like these things that I know mm-hmm. to be true. And saying them out loud and speaking them to this little young cohort of like, I know this to be true, and I will say these words out loud, and I will say them again and again so that you know you are valuable, no matter what. Like, this is an unwavering truth. And I have been finding a lot of comfort in being able to put my stake in the earth for the things that I know to be true and to say them out loud, and find those sort of like, I don't know, like touch points.
There's this thing our couples therapist has been saying to us. I'm trying to remember the three parts. It's like, is it possible? Is it probable? Is it true?
Mm-hmm.
And like when a panic comes up, be like, okay, is this thing possible? Is it probable? Is it true? Or like, has it come to fruition or something? And that has been, it somehow that feels tied to this, like, what do I know? Because there's so many things that are possible right now and a lot of things that are probable, and like grounding myself in like, okay, but what do I know that is actually really true in this moment? And that has helped me in like little ways and also in these like big, yeah.
I think that's also helping me prioritize like where to put my, like funnel my attention in a focused way, because there are so many things that are flying around and so many of them are varying degrees of certainty to them. And I think as a strategy, funneling out, like, what is the thing right now that I really want to pay attention to, and not let go of, and not like, my attention will not flit off of this because I'm like paying attention to this. I don't know. I want to hear from you though.
My big overarching one was this, like, orienting myself towards joy and just running towards just actively choosing that instead of like having all my feelers out for crisis so that I can go fix something, being like, okay, sure, if something comes up and needs my attention, I can handle it. But actively orienting, like, I'm going to see Ross Gay. I'm going to see Alok. And then, you know, I have these planned. I've planned some camping trips. Andrew and Charlie and I are going to take a little trip to Chicago. Just prioritizing pleasure and things that feel really important and valuing that a lot. I think it's in these moments we can be like, everything's so terrible. And if I'm not like actively trying to solve the problems of the world, then this is frivolous. And I actually feel like one of the most important things I could do is see poets live or invest in my kid and my partnership And then the other thing, which ties onto yours, where you were talking about listening to podcasts instead of social media, I have found a resource that has been really, really supportive for me. The We Can Do Hard Things podcast once a week has an interview with Jessica Yellen, who has a Substack called News Not Noise. And she just breaks down in a really just straightforward way, kind of like the biggest headlines from the past week. And it is honestly right now the only news source that I'm taking. And I like kind of glance at my New York Times app, but mostly I don't look at it. And it has felt really grounding and supportive to me. And she has given some nuanced things. There was a conversation about what's happening with the Department of Education. And she was kind of breaking down what like the differences between like what Republicans or Democrats are wanting. But she was like, at the heart of it, this is what everyone cares about. And she was like, kind of it's the same. Mm-hmm. And that felt like it gave me some scripts for being like, oh, okay, I could talk to someone. Like, we make these so polarized, which is what you were getting at. Like, how are we having these nuanced conversations? But that has felt really, really supportive to me. Is like once a week for an hour, I listen to what the big things were in what feels like a measured way.
News, not noise.
News, not noise.
And is it on the We Can Do Hard Things feed? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's on Thursdays that it drops. They've been doing it for the past like month, I think. But then Jessica Yellen also has a Substack called News Not Noise.
What I also like about podcasts for this kind of thing is the that like at least a few days have to pass before speaking. And I think I know that there are some things that don't work that way, but a lot of it does. That like these are things to be talking about that with care and attention, and some of that takes time. And I appreciate the speed of that. The last thing I will say, and this is I didn't put this in our notes, but it's just reminding me of sort of like a mindset that I've been trying to practice, does get to the idea that you just named of like actually a lot of the things we care about are the same. I'm really feeling strongly that a lot of the chasm, not all of it, but a lot of the chasm that we experience, and that sort of that feeling of being out in the world and being like, what story are you living in? A lot of it is manufactured and designed for profit, that there is like profit in us being on our opposing sports teams and like really being entrenched in that and not listening or collaborating or working together on the things that we do value. And so shared, like the shared values that we do have. I do believe that most of us, if we sat in a room together, would have a lot of those things that we share. I know there are exceptions to that, plenty. And that is real and also important. But I do not like this narrative that there's two groups of people or whatever, maybe four, I don't know. But like these few camps, and that we all are completely against each other in every way. That's the thing that is being created. So what I have been trying to do, and I did this a lot while I was traveling to varying degrees of success, was like to assume that we see a lot of the things, that we care about a lot of the same things at the heart of it.
This feels good. This feels, I am so curious what the, especially these, like, what are the little tiny things and what are the large, like, perspective shifts or like, what are you orienting yourself towards? So like, what are the tiny things you're doing in the moment and what are the like more big picture ways that you're moving?
Yeah, I would really like to know that. I think we could gather, I think we have a, like very thoughtful listeners who have probably a host of different strategies, and
it'd be nice. It'd be cool to compile that together
into a resource or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So please go let us know what are the little ways, and also what are the big picture thinking? What is your North Star that you're moving towards, and how are yourself keeping yourself calm in the moment?
Thanks for being here with us.
We love you.
Bye-bye.
You tell me when we're done, okay?
This podcast is edited and perfected by the most beautiful wizard and my favorite dude, Micah Jones.
For all the show notes and a transcript of today's episode, check out our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast. This is our hub. It's where you can join the conversation and be part of our community.
If today's episode resonated with you or made you think of someone, share it.
And if you want to support the pod and also make us glow inside, go give a 5-star review on Apple. That would be so lovely.
Thank you for being here, for listening, for being a part of this community.
We love you so much.